right, folks, we've been cleared for takeoff. Give me a hell, give me a yell. Stand up right now and give me a hell, give me a yell. Stand up right now, get ready to go. She ain't moving slow, she's taking control. Pushing the pedal through the floor. I'm begging for more, you better hold on tight.
And welcome to Alouette's Flight Deck, the podcast dedicated to Montreal Alouettes football. I'm Tim Capper, along with Cliffy D. I'm speechless, buddy. I you know, two things happen. You know, it just seems to be the perfect storm. And then, you know, we had the stuff dropped on us today. It's something that you were saying off air, is that it's very rare that you and I are speechless about something, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, like, I like to think we always have something interesting to talk about. And, you know, we've certainly got an opinion on a lot of things as well. But the bombshell that was dropped on us today is just kind of like, wow. I mean,
that's a little bit of a strong word if you think about it. I mean, we knew it was coming with the changes. And for anybody who doesn't know, who's been living under a rock on this Monday when we're taping the show, is that, you know, the Alouettes have a new interim head coach, is Jacques Champlain, his first head coaching job in the CFL in his career. Jim Popp he's not the head coach anymore. See, there's no official thing to say. He wasn't fired. I was listening to the press conference that was played over our local TSN radio station here, TSN 690. And I understand they want to go forward with everything, Cliff, but man, they were vague. Oh my God. Even with Herb Zerkowski, you know, the Montreal Alouettes, the beat writer, the Owls beat writer for the Montreal Gazette. Oh my God. I get it, but yeah, answer the question. Answer the question. It's like, no, we want to look forward. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't get a chance to listen to the press conference, unfortunately, but I mean, I can definitely glean a lot of what was being said. And yeah, I understand there was no doubt about it. A change had to be made as far as the head coaching position goes. I mean, as much as we love Jim Popp and as much respect as we have for everything he's done for this Montreal Alouettes organization, it was time for him to go. He has never been the solution when it comes to the head coaching position here in Montreal.
Right.
It didn't work the first time. It didn't work the second time. It didn't work the third time. And it sure as hell isn't working for the fourth time now that he's been on the sidelines. It just doesn't work.
No. And if anybody wants to, you can go over to the TSN 690 webpage. They did have Coach Champlain on today. They also had Coach Popp on. General Manager. General Manager Jim Popp on. And listen to both of those interviews. And I am sure that you will anybody listen to them, will find them very, very interesting. And by the way, speaking of TSN 690, our guest this week is somebody who's covered the Alouettes quite a bit and also writes for them on Three Down Nation. We'll have it in a couple of minutes here. It's Joey Alfieri of TSN 690. Guy knows what he knows what he's talking about when it comes to the Alouettes, and I think you guys should be a great conversation. And we'll talk about it more afterwards after everything has happened. But real quickly before we speak to him, and then we'll talk about the Popp situation and et cetera after the interview, Cliff. What about this week's game? I mean, it's frustrating. The Owls, it went down to a last second field goal. It's just that I think there were really three things that kind of messed it up when they were driving the way they were, and it was they just happened to be turnovers.
Turnovers kill. They say speed kills, but honestly, when it comes to the game of football, turnovers will kill you every single time. Mm-hmm. And it was no different this past Friday in Hamilton. Turning the ball over, again, it's unacceptable. And it's so frustrating, too, because after the week of hell that has gone about with all the shenanigans that went on with Rakeem Cato and his receivers at practice, everybody just wanted to believe that this was going to be it. This was the spark that this team desperately needed. And instead, we got a whole lot of nothing.
We did.
The only points that were produced were as a result of our field goal kicker and special teams. Offense couldn't score any points.
Which happened to be Daron Carter, by the way. Was it his first time or that we've seen him on special teams? He goes out and reaches it, bats the ball, and what a stiff arm. I wouldn't want to get a stiff arm from him.
No, the guy's an athletic freak. I mean, like I said, he has that wide wingspan. No wonder he was able to get in Brett Maher's kitchen, smack the ball around, pick it up, and take it to the house. I mean, that is an athlete right there. I mean, Daron Carter, say what you will about Daron Carter, and believe me, the guy has eaten more than enough this year from not only opposing teams, but even Alouettes fans love to get their little snipes in and, you know, have this perceived attitude of who Daron Carter is. You don't have a f-ing clue who Daron Carter is. I'm throwing it out there right now.
Be careful there, buddy. We have two lunatics there in a row.
Well, guess what? The lunatic's going to earn his money today because, quite frankly, I've had it. I've had it with these faux fans that don't know a goddamn thing, just going out and they're just spouting off their ignorance about Daron Carter. You know what? Fine. I'll give it to you that Daron can rub a lot of people the wrong way. That's what he does. That's the kind of personality he is. And guess what? He is a personality. He does not have an attitude, okay? He's not a diva by any stretch. The guy just wants to play football and he just wants to do well. How is that necessarily a bad thing? And you know what? He's embraced it. He gets it now, okay? He wants to be the bad guy because you've all made him to be the bad guy. So you know what? Just like Tony Montana and Scarface, you want to know who the bad guy is? I'll show you who the bad guy is. I'm sure I didn't do that right, and I apologize to Al Pacino. Please forgive me. But again, Daron Carter is not the problem. And the faster you get that through your skull, the better your life will be. The more you will enjoy the Alouettes. The more you will enjoy Canadian football, for that matter, because quite frankly, Daron Carter is so far from the problem as this team has. This has nothing to do with Daron Carter and your perceived attitude about him. Daron Carter is the most cerebral player you are ever going to meet. And guess what? He's not a jerk. You want to believe he's a jerk? Go ahead. I can tell you right now, Daron Carter is the furthest thing from being a jerk. The guy has all the time in the world for you.
Right.
He wants the best thing, and props to TSN's Chris Cuthbert for tweeting this out just before the game. All this talk of him being the worst teammate ever, according to a certain website that I used to be associated with, publishing a story about how terrible teammate he is. Someone actually brought a sign to Tim Hortons Field with Daron's picture on it, and it actually has the words "worst teammate ever" on it. And what picture did Chris Cuthbert tweet out? A picture of Daron Carter himself signing this. So if that tells you nothing else, one, he has zero to give about what anyone thinks, and good on him for it. And two, he gets it. He's in on the joke. He knows that everybody hates him. And if he gets under your skin, then he's done his job. He's done everything that he was supposed to do to get you as an opposing fan riled up. And you know what? He's actually gaining more fans. You know how many people have been talking to me behind the scenes and say, you know what? Good on Daron, man. Like, the guy, he gets it. He knows what it takes to win. And it's just a matter of time before people realize just what they have with Daron Carter. Because one day he's not going to be with the Alouettes anymore. Because maybe he goes back to the NFL. Maybe he goes to another team because people get sick and tired of his attitude. And you know what? You're going to miss him all over again. People missed him when he left the Alouettes after the 2014 season. And I swear to God, you're going to miss him again when he's gone. I just sincerely hope that everybody eventually comes around and realizes that, you know what? Daron Carter is not the problem. You want to call him a cancer? Believe me, this guy ain't no cancer. There's a lot of things wrong with this Alouettes organization. Daron Carter is very, very far from what's wrong with this Alouettes organization. I'll tell you that right now, and that's exactly what I believe.
Nice. Following Grant by Cliffy D is brought to you by The Lunatic. Well, you know, we'll leave it at that. Let's get to our conversation when we'll get into more about the what happened with the game and with the head coaching situation too. So let's get to it. And on the line with us now, we have to talk about the Owls. And what better way with Joey Alfieri? He's a reporter for TSN 690, and he's also a newly minted writer for Third Down Nation. Thanks for joining us, Joey.
Hey, no worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
We want to at least find out, for those of you who don't know, I mean, I know it, I'm sure a lot of people who listen to Impact, the Impact, Montreal Impact, they know about you being a sideline reporter, et cetera.
Yeah.
But when it comes to your sports history, not necessarily just the Owls, where did it start and how did you get into it?
Media-wise, I mean, interning for a long time. I started as an intern in 08. I'm a young pup. I'm still relatively young. So I started interning in 2008 before I graduated university, mm-hmm. and then ended up, I finished, got my bachelor's, did some more interning, more working for free, and then finally, the people at TSN Radio and CJAD gave me a break, and that's where we are now. We're living the dream.
Now, your schedule must be just packed. I mean, I guess you do mostly, yeah. if I'm not mistaken, the Impact, right?
Yeah, I do a lot of Impact soccer, obviously, and a lot of writing as well for hockey, NHL, and NBC, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So you sprinkle in the Alouettes, and the Alouettes have kept me busy this year, too. So I'm out there. Yeah, I'm definitely out there for sure. Yeah,
I'm sure. And it's obviously, I'm happy that you joined us here, because it just so happens the day that I contacted you, it hadn't broken yet, but it sure broke now. Everybody knows about it. But first, we have to at least talk about it, right, Cliff? Let's talk about the newest change in head coach for the Montreal Alouettes. Jacques Champtelain is now our new interim head coach. What are your first impressions? First, Cliff, go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's just a move that had to be made, I suppose. I mean, this team at 3-9, I mean, if we want to have any sort of, even just a glimmer of hope, I think that was unfortunately, I hate to say it, I have to say it was extinguished this past Friday in Hamilton. The best the team could do now, even if they go on a miracle run and win the next six games, it'll still be 9-9. Is that going to be good enough to get into the playoffs? Highly, highly unlikely. When you consider how strong the Western Division has been this year, and even though there's the Eastern Division, for the most part, is pretty well wide open, I just, call me pessimistic now if you want, but it's going to be so hard to really believe that a 9-9 record is going to be good enough to crack even like third place in the CFL East and garner a playoff spot. So you may as well just now see what you have as far as not just the talent that's on this team, but also coaching wise as well. I mean, I don't see Noel Thorpe sticking around. Cavis Reed, I know he had a bit of a hard time in Edmonton, so I understand why some people are kind of soured on that experience. And you sure as hell are not going to promote Anthony Calvillo to head coach now, even on an interim basis. So I think this team had just no choice whatsoever but to give this to someone else entirely. And Champtelain seems to be like the best available out of the people that are currently on staff for this team. That seems to be the best option. I mean, he's been an OC for several years. He does know what he's doing when it comes to an offense. So, I mean, the fact that both he and AC, for whatever reason, whatever they were coming up with just didn't seem to be clicking. So maybe now that he's got, full autonomy right now, or at least we assume that he's got full autonomy, maybe this is going to be the thing that, showcases him, if nothing else. And whether or not he's going to get actual consideration for the job after the season's over, wait and see. I guess a lot of it will depend on just how well the Alouettes play for these next six games. And I guess we just sort of go from there.
And Joey, I mean, was it a surprise when you heard about it, or is it something you said, I'm not surprised one bit?
I mean, I was expecting some kind of change, right? I think we all were.
Right.
But the name Jacques Champtelain, that surprised me quite a bit. I mean, I was expecting, if there was a change to be made, I was expecting Cavis Reed or Noel Thorpe, like Cliffy said. But when Jacques Champtelain's name came out, I had to kind of do a double take. It just, you have two assistant head coaches on the staff, and neither one of them got the gig when Jim Pop stepped away or whatever, however they want to describe it. But neither one of those guys gets the job. And that was very telling for me, very curious as to why they wouldn't go that route, one of those two. And listen, you have to think that Jim Pop had a say maybe in who was next. And he didn't pick, maybe he did fight for one of those two guys. But, I mean, in the end, neither one of Reed or Thorpe ends up being the head coach. So now I'm just curious to see how this all unfolds. I mean, like Cliffy said, I think overall, the odds of the Alouettes making the playoffs are slim to none. They're not dead yet. I do think 9-9 probably gets you in, but I mean, you've got to rattle off six in a row. So, it's unlikely, but at the same time, if he does a respectable job, if he gets a good hold on the players, if he brings a little more structure to the Alouettes sideline and to the locker room, does he get the job going into next year? I don't think so, but you know, nonetheless, what's the point of having him here if the guys, you know, if you've already ruled out that he won't be behind the bench or on the sidelines, whatever, next year?
Right.
So I'm curious to see how they respond. Obviously, there's some characters there in that Alouettes locker room. Most of them are the receivers, so at least he's familiar with them. That's the position he was coaching before. Yeah. So I'm really curious to see how they come out, what kind of week of practice they have. And Chapdelain was saying that there's going to be changes. He didn't want to get into what they were just yet because he hadn't spoken to the players yet, but he did mention changes, and that definitely piqued my curiosity.
Well, he doesn't want to tip his card either, you know, tip his hand to the other teams also. He is going to make some major overhaul changes. But I think, was it you that said you weren't surprised that, you know, with Chapdelain becoming the first, you know, obviously he's the first French-Canadian head coach in Alouettes history. You had some interesting things to say on Twitter about what you thought. Can you expound on that just a little bit? You know, just a few of the things that you, some of the thoughts also that you had.
Well, look, I mean, the first thing that struck me was that obviously they didn't go with Cavis Reed and Nolthorpe, like I said before. Yeah. But I mean, the second thing that came to mind was they went with the bilingual guy, and I'm sure, you know, they can downplay that, you know, all they want. And they, you know, Mark Waitman was saying how, you know, at equal talent, they'll go with the local product, the guy who can speak French, the Quebecer. And I have no issue with that, by the way. I just think in this case, you know, maybe the French thing kind of, you know, nudged them that way. Maybe that is the way. And not to say that, you know, Jacques Chapdelain isn't, you know, he doesn't have the credentials to be a head coach in the CFL. Because, I mean, obviously the guy's there, he's done it all. Seen it all. He's done everything but be a head coach at the CFL level. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, like I said, how they respond. And then second, I just thought that maybe you have two assistant head coaches. This season has been a bit of a circus, to put it mildly. So maybe if you promote one assistant head coach, you kind of tick off the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the other one takes off in the middle of the season. I mean, you don't know. I mean, we don't know behind closed doors what's going on, but I think maybe going with Chapdelain, obviously the local guy, plus the fact he speaks French, plus the fact that you have two assistant head coaches and you don't want to take one or the other off, I think everything kind of points in that direction. And when I know everything that I know now, it kind of makes sense. But before this morning, I had no idea that they'd go this way.
Well, we saw some things before also with Nolthorpe, what happened in the offseason and whatnot. So it's who's to say that he's not going to go away? But
he's under contract, Tim. That's the thing. Another year there. There's another year under contract. So what are they going to do? What do they do from here? He's under contract for next year, and they've made it clear that they're not going to let him walk. Now, if they overhaul the staff and they bring in somebody to be the head coach from the outside, maybe then at that point they'll say, okay, you know, we'll let you go. But if that doesn't happen and they want to keep Thorpe, what do you do? You know, Thorpe was forced, and for good reason, because the defense has done well in the last few years, but he was forced onto Dan Hawkins, forced onto Tom Higgins, and, you know, that for whatever reason doesn't really work in professional football. So
no,
I don't know. It'll be interesting.
He also had that one stint as a quote unquote head coach for the game when Jim Popp couldn't make it because he was hurt. I mean, because he was sick. So it's he's had. I mean, I'm sure they had already something set up. But Cliff, does it surprise you? I mean, do you see Thorpe leaving? Do you? What best case scenario for the Owls head coaching and coaching staff situation?
Well, before I answer that, Joey. I'm sorry, I didn't listen to the conference call at all this afternoon, and maybe, I don't know if you know this by speaking with other people within the organization or not, but did you get any sort of indication that maybe either Reed or Thorpe were offered the position on an interim basis and just flat out said
no? No, I don't think so. I think, I mean, listen, I haven't had that conversation with anyone yet, but I'd imagine that I don't think either one of those guys would turn down that opportunity. I can't imagine that happening. And the way Andrew Wettenhall explained it was that, you know, the defense and the special teams are fine. They needed a boost when it comes to the offense, and that's why they hired, or that's why they chose Jacques Chapdelain. I mean, to me, it doesn't really make sense. But, you know, if your offense is struggling, why do you have to promote an offensive guy to head coach? It, you know, doesn't really make sense to me. But, you know, in the end, it is what it is. And the thing is, he didn't say this because he wouldn't confirm it, but I got the sense that Jacques Chapdelain is going to be calling the plays from now on.
It was
so
very
now that
vague.
Now things
yeah,
I'll
agree with Joe.
It was very vague.
Oh, it was
vague.
Just the way it seemed to come off. They were being very vague on purpose. And then if a question was brought up, say for instance, like Herb Sierkowski, it was it is what it is. You know, Pop wasn't fired. He didn't step down. It was what's best for the team.
It was total recovery mode, I guess, is what you're saying.
I don't know if it was recovery mode. I mean, we've all heard it as you know, as sports fans, when it comes to the changes, when it comes to head coaches or coaching staff, it's either one or the other. You know, they were fired or they were let go amicably, or whatever. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. Are we going to ever hear the truth?
It's just complicated.
Yeah,
it's complicated here just because the coach steps away and he's still on as general manager, so you can't come out and say, oh, hey, we fired him, but he's still, you know, he's still part of the organization. So it's obviously, it's dicey. It's not a normal or that quote-unquote normal situation. CFL, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Cliffy, quick, and then we can get to the Owls real quick before we had to let Joey go here tonight. But quickly, what are your thoughts when it comes to what's going to be the future of the Alouettes coaching staff?
Well, I mean, in a perfect world, and I've been a big proponent of Norrell Thorpe getting the promotion to head coach, I definitely think he's been passed over. He's been on this team, and it's interesting that Joey brought up the fact that he too has been sort of foisted upon the other coaches that have come in the past. But I mean, I just have a hard time believing that with all of the shenanigans, everything that has gone on over the past couple of years, that I have to believe that Thorpe, he'll see this out. But even if they were to offer him the full head coaching gig and give him total control over the staff and everything like that, there's still a very big part of me that just thinks at this point he's had his fill. Like, he'll honor his contract because he's contractually obligated to, but unfortunately I got a feeling that he's going to bolt, and this organization will have no choice but to look from the outside and bring someone in that, you know, they may have no choice but to. You know, will they want to play fair and give Anthony Calvillo the chance to be on the staff in some capacity? That's a tough call to make, too, because I mean, as much as we'd all love to have AC still be a part of the Alouettes in some way, shape, or form, again, a head coach has to be able to have the right to choose the staff and feel confident in his staff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're being told to, yeah, you got to keep this guy because, you know, he's a legend in these parts, well, that may not necessarily fly with every single head coaching candidate. So it's really such a tough call to make. And like I said, I got no words for this. It's tough. I'm kind of glad, though, that a change has been made because we had no choice. A change had to be made. Pop had to go as head coach.
Right.
So I'm kind of glad now that they've made a choice. They're going to see it through. There's six games left in the season. Let's see what Chapdelaine does and let the chips fall where they may. But I have a feeling that once the final game of the season is, whether it's November 5th, I think it is, in Hamilton as the final game, or if somehow we do go on a miracle run and somehow make the playoffs by hook or by crook, when the season's over, I think that's when they're going to have to really take a good hard look at everything. And I have a feeling they're going to be looking outside when it comes to the next head coach of the Montreal Alouettes.
Well, they did it before. If you guys remember, it was as early as 2 years ago, they went on that run to finish up the season. So it's, now mind you, that was Jonathan Crompton under center, but it's...
Well, they're saying he's available to him. They're saying he'll be available after the bye.
It's going to be very interesting. I mean, you yourself, Joey, were talking about the O. Cliffy and I have been complaining constantly about the O all year. Trying to figure out what's happening with the Alouettes, here's one stat, guys, which I was able to get from the CFL notes that came out today. The Alouettes have scored a touchdown on only 13% of their possessions this year. So it's 22 out of 168 possessions.
Wow.
Now, what's funny, guys, is that Winnipeg is also at 13%, and look how well they're doing. And obviously the worst of them all is Saskatchewan at 10%. That's through this past week. What do the Owls need to do, Joey, to just... This reminds, you know, these last 4 years have just been an utter cluster. They really have. It's just, we have said that the Alouettes are not prepared. They were not prepared when it came to a backup quarterback. As soon as AC went down, obviously we're not going back to the days of 96 with Ham and Calvillo back to back. What do these Owls need to do to get back on track and become a winning franchise again?
Yeah, well, I think you're going to have to identify that, you know, the next quarterback. Obviously, it starts and ends there. It's not exactly breaking news for anybody who follows the CFL, but I think that's plan A. That's where you got to attack first, and you got to find that guy. Hey, maybe the guy's on the roster. Maybe they really like of Vernon Adams. But the thing is, the thing I would caution people with is, you know, you can win with an inexperienced quarterback. Mm-hmm. It can be done. But, I mean, he's going to have to be coached up like there's like nobody's business. You know, like he's going to have to be coached up like crazy. And right now, unfortunately, not only do you have the quarterback with no experience, but you have the offensive coordinator calling the plays with no experience. And that's where I think the problem really lies. So, you know, is Cato the next guy? Do I think Cato is going to be a stud? No, I don't think Cato is going to be a stud. Is he going to be serviceable? Yeah, I think he can be serviceable. I just think there are some limitations there. But I think it really is going to start with finding the right quarterback, but right there, hand in hand, goes finding not only the right head coach, but finding the right staff. And I think if you can, you know, surround some of your young quarterbacks with a good offensive coordinator, you know, maybe AC stays as a quarterback or wide receiver coach or whatever. And I think if they're just well surrounded, I think that's already going to, that's going to be, it's going to help even more so, right? So I think Saskatchewan Rough Riders, you look at what they're doing, I think they're further away than the Alouettes, even though they do have a quarterback in Darian Durant. He's going to be free agent at the end of the season. But regardless, I think there's more talent on Montreal's roster. I think there's more talent on Montreal's roster than there is on Winnipeg's roster, to be frank with you. I just think that right now, you know, Winnipeg's not turning the ball over. They're getting the stops defensively, and that's how they're getting by. But
and they made the change at quarterback when it was necessary.
That's what I'm saying. He's not turning the ball over, right? So, you know, they haven't finished off drives. I know people in Winnipeg are still freaking out that they kick way too many field goals. But, you know, I think with the Alouettes, I think obviously that finding that quarterback is going to be key. But getting the right head coach, and that's why I think it's important Jim Popp is part of this search, because we know he wasn't when Tom Higgins was hired. Mm-hmm. You know, the Dan Hawkins, you know, fiasco was, you know, they got really late into the off season, and they just needed to hire an offensive coordinator and a head coach.
Yeah, which is
and
bad.
Ended up settling on Dan Hawkins kind of in panic mode. But I think if you just leave it up to Jim Popp, he'll find the right guy. He found, you know, no, he didn't find, but he hired Don Matthews. He hired Charlie Taft. He hired Mark Trestman. So, you know, I think it's one of those things where you let Jim do what he does. And I think from a head coaching perspective, you'll be fine. But now finding that quarterback is going to be a challenge for sure.
Well,
it
also can't help, though, and I think both of you will agree with me, when you have, what, 8-9 quarterbacks on the roster at one point. I mean, it's who is going to be the next guy? I mean, they, you know, Kevin Glenn was – unfortunately, yes, he's a 500 quarterback, you know, a career quarterback, and it's – I hate it. I've been a season ticket holder in Joy for 20 years, and this is just so frustrating. Yeah. But I guess every fan has to go through it.
Right. I mean, and look, we in my family, we've had season tickets for a little less than you. But still, I mean, this is, in my house, it's a passionate Alouette fan base. And, you know, we've come home from games, and, you know, my dad and my brother, we're talking, and they're frustrated too. I mean, they're paying customers, you know what I mean? And it, the thing is, people didn't realize, and I'll throw myself in this boat because I grew up at the stadium when I was a kid as well, is that, you know, sometimes you don't realize how good you have it. And listen, how many times in, you know, the early, mid, late 2000s did you go to Molson Stadium 10 times a year if you count the preseason game, and the Alouettes come back with, you know, one loss. Like, if the Alouettes lost two home games in a year, it was like, it was crazy. Like, wow, I can't believe the Alouettes lost two home games in a year. But things have changed. And, you know, people, you know, it's easy to say that they haven't groomed a quarterback. But, you know, people also have to understand that this isn't necessarily the NFL, where you can stink for a year and then fall into, you know, a great draft pick and you can draft a franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. And even that method, you know, has proven to be faulty. So, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, could they have groomed somebody? Yeah. Should they have groomed someone? Yeah. But when you're winning Grey Cup titles, it's easier said than done. So, yeah. I mean, right now, I know the line of the day seems to be it is what it is, but this is the situation they have. This is the hole they've put themselves in, and now it's time for them to dig themselves out of it.
Yeah, let's hope. Cliffy, any last questions for Joey before we let him go?
No, actually, I just wanted to say that you know, we definitely appreciate everything you've done as far as Alouettes coverage. We hear you all the time on TSN 690 with your radio hits, and you know, just keep doing what you're doing, man, because you're representing all of us. I mean, you're representing not just the podcast people, but you're also representing the fans and the writers and everybody else. And keep doing what you're doing, man. We appreciate it.
I appreciate that. And you know what? You guys have done a bang-up job as well. I think what you guys do, I know, Cliffy, you write, and Tim with the podcast, and both of you with the podcast. I mean, what you guys do for Alouettes Nation shouldn't be lost on anybody, because you know, you guys do it out of passion, and it's great stuff. And I hope you guys keep pushing through, because I enjoy listening, I enjoy reading. I
greatly appreciate it. Now, hey, before we let you go, Dre, if anybody wants to see your writing or get a hold of you on social media, how would they do so?
Yeah, find me on Twitter at Joey Alfieri, JoeyAlfieri. And we can converse. I like chatting, even if we disagree. I don't mind. If you have, if you think that I'm a moron for some of my opinions, let me know. I'll be respectful. You'll be respectful. We'll be good. It's fun. It's always a good time to. And plus, you'll get to see me trash talk Cliffy D a little bit on Twitter, which is always fun.
Well, you wouldn't be the first, and you probably won't be the last.
Greatly appreciate it, Joey. Good luck, and we'll talk to you soon. Eh?
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Joey. Take care.
He has some very interesting points to bring up when it came to the Alouettes and what needs to be done, not, you know, not only with the head coaching situation, but also what the Owls need to do going forward, right?
Absolutely. I mean, Joey just, he gets it. He gets Montreal sports in general, but I mean, like, as far as the Alouettes go, I mean, he's right there in the thick of it as well. And it's so refreshing to hear his perspective on things as well. So thanks again, Joey. We definitely appreciate you joining us, and hopefully we'll have you back on again soon.
Yeah. Now, for us, let's talk about something here. Let's talk a little bit more about the game, and then we'll talk about the situation. Now, remember, for the Alouettes fans, you should know there is no game coming up this week. They are currently on a bye, and Cliffy and I are going to decide what we're going to do for next week's show. But we'll check our social media outlets for the Owls, Alouettes Flight Deck, and one, or his or mine, and we'll let you know what we're going to be doing. But and the thing that I mentioned with in our conversation with Joey is that, I mean, how anemic is the Alouettes offense? I think the stat that I brought up, it just says in itself, when the Owls have only scored, of all their drives, it's only 13% of their drives have ended up in a touchdown. 13. And as I mentioned before, when you go up against Winnipeg, it's like night and day.
Yeah.
And they're at the same percentage. You know, it just, what is happening, I just don't understand why they can't score. Again, I said it for the past 2 weeks. I am still not on the Cato bandwagon. But I will give props that this guy can play. I mean, he's throwing it at, what, a 65-70% clip this season? But he has no passing TDs.
That's not true. He does have one passing TD. He, in the blowout to Saskatchewan, he did complete a pass to Daron Carter.
Oh, that one. But I mean,
He's been named the starter, you're right. Yeah. He has not had a passing TD. And I have to do a major mea culpa right here, because last week on the flight deck, I pretty much had said that I have a lot more confidence in Rakeem Cato than I did in Dan Lefevre. And to his credit, Dan Lefevre, even though the Argos lost last Saturday, he still played hard. He still did what needed to be done. I still think he's keeping the seat warm for Drew Willie. I don't understand why I cannot say his name. the for now backup quarterback of the Toronto Argonauts, yeah. Not Dan Lefevre, but yeah. Again, props to Lefevre. I mean, he's doing the job. He's definitely a serviceable quarterback. Rakeem Cato can be a serviceable quarterback too. But right now, everything I'm seeing from Cato has just been disappointing more than anything else. Like, he comes in and he's supposed to be this dynamo, and he's got all the talent in the world. And is it really a matter of the system that's put in place? And I've had a lot of time to think about it, because I was mad. I wasn't mad this past Friday at the play of Rakeem Cato. I was disappointed. Right. For all the bluster, for all of the fireworks throughout the week at practice, I was expecting this guy to come out like a house of fire. And instead, it was just nothing. Not nothing, but very little. Let's put it that way. That was just underwhelming would be the best way to describe Rakeem Cato this past Friday.
So you're saying he couldn't start the fire without the flint?
No. He just...
It was smoldering. It wasn't even smoldering.
For it to smolder, you would have to have...
Some sort of spark.
Something like that. This was just trying to, like, you know, light a match in the wind. I mean, he was just... Every time he tried to get a little something going, nothing. Just absolutely nothing.
No, to be fair, though, it really wasn't his fault. That interception that is accredited to him really was not his. You know, if the ball had been caught by B.J. Cunningham instead of being tipped, you know, and also with all the fumbles and da-da-da, it may have been totally different. The Owls may have won this game.
It definitely would have helped, because, I mean, at the end of the day, Hamilton didn't play all that spectacular either. I mean, Zach Caleros
something wrong with that team right now, too. So it's – but we're not – You know, maybe they'll know what's happening on the Podski Wee Wee podcast. So it's for us, It's something. I don't know. Now, to be fair, again, I remember my prediction they'd go 1-1. Well, for the first time this year, I was wrong. So I was wrong. So be it.
Well, and I was with you with that. I was prepared to say that, yeah, this of the two road games that they would have played in September, I was expecting them to go 1-1 as well. And unfortunately, they end up going 0-2. And this was, yet again, a very winnable game for Montreal. I mean, if they could have just put a couple of things together just a little bit better.
Penalties could have got in the way. I mean, now, to be fair, this was, I think the CFL and then Steve Daniel came out with a stat. It was the six penalties that were in this game was the least amount of penalties in, what, 20 years? Was it 20 years or 20 games?
20 games, I believe.
I don't remember what it was, but it was a long – no, it was longer than that. It was more than 20 games. I think it was in the maybe I don't know. I had to go back and check, but it was a while. So it's just that the penalties that were called on the Alouettes really hurt them, and it had just happened to be, I think, on that final drive.
Just gut wrenching stuff. I mean, and
the defense is still top notch. They rebounded. You know, sir, Hamilton didn't have C.J. Gable, but he was hurting. But still, Hamilton was able to do what he needed to do with the rushing game, and it set up that final touchdown. The final score, the final field goal.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give credit to Bear Woods for helping to, you know, turn in the ball, helping Zach Caleros turn the ball over. Big props to a young guy that started his first year with the Alouettes, Dominique Termanson. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Man, that kid, like he came in relief. That was the great part. Like,
he got burned and then he burned.
Yeah. So I mean, props to this kid. I mean, I've been extremely impressed with how he's played this year. I mean, considering he was undrafted too this year, again, he's got championship experience because he played for the UBC Thunderbirds when they won the Vanier Cup last season. Mm-hmm. Despite being undrafted, he did just enough to get himself invited to Alouette's camp. Really impressed throughout the whole thing, even in preseason too. I mean, he actually got an INT in preseason as well. So, I mean, like, this is a guy that give him the chance. I mean, he could be a real force in the secondary. Both him, Ramon Taylor, even Greg Henderson, like I said, I've been a little hard on him over the past couple of weeks, but I mean, he has really stepped things up. And again, not perfect, obviously making rookie mistakes as rookies tend to do. But I mean, this young secondary is giving me a little bit of hope. I mean, this has not been the best season for the Alouettes in general, but you look at this young secondary and how great is it to have, you got the leadership of Marc-Olivier Brouillette, Joe Von Johnson, and Billy Parker. But
once Bewitt comes back.
But for the secondary, for these young pups to really get a chance to shine is exciting and just gives you just a little taste of what the future holds. And I got to say, as far as the secondary goes, there's definitely a lot to like here. There's a lot to be proud of and look forward to in the next couple of seasons going forward. I'm very impressed with what I've seen so far, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to come, at least for the next couple of games.
Now, I know we don't have a game, but the next game is versus Toronto. Now, I know what we've heard, but you as the defense, and who would you rather have as starting quarterback versus the Argos? Would it be Dan Lefebvre or would it be Drew Willey, in your opinion?
I'm always of the opinion you got to ride the hot hand when it comes to quarterbacks. But I mean, if Drew, oh Christ almighty, why can't I say his goddamn name? If number two on the Toronto Argos, if he's ready to go, I'd say give him the shot because you blew your brains out to get this guy. You want that sure hand. And again, he didn't have the greatest start of the season in Winnipeg, but if Willie is ready to go and ready to start playing, I'd say give him the ball because I mean, and I'm not putting Montreal down by any effort, but I mean, like, if anyone could afford to take Montreal just a little bit lightly, or at least not be terribly concerned of the final product, it would be the Toronto Argonauts, not this coming Sunday, but the Sunday after. Because, yeah, they're very much in a playoff hunt still, believe it or not, as is pretty much everybody in the East. But, I mean, barring injury or anything like that, I definitely think if you gave Drew Willey, I did it, a chance to... Let's see what he's got. I mean, if he's got the playbook down, I mean, he's been with the team now, I think, for at least two games sitting on the sidelines. By the time he's ready to play against Montreal, he should have this playbook down pat. And I mean, unless Dan Lefebvre is just, you know, absolutely lighting the world on fire, which, again, he's been playing really good. Not great, but really good. But I think at this point, you made the effort to go out and get this guy. You may as well put him out there and see what he can do. How is he going to gel with this particular offense? So if I'm Scott Milanovic,
we'll see this week versus Ottawa. This is an Ottawa team that has one of the hottest players in the league right now. So it'll be interesting. So it's something we can talk about maybe next week. Now, we know what needs to be done. Now, with the changes that were made today with the head coaching position, what can be done? You know, and we talked about it at length, I know, with Joey and before. But is there enough that the Owls can go on one of these runs like they did two seasons ago with Crompton under center and the 1-8-9? And what do you think? I mean, it's
– again,
realistically, do I think that the Alouettes can make the playoffs? No. And that's just me being an honest fan. Just basically what's happening so far, it had to be a serious drastic change for the Alouettes in order to make the playoffs. But with Chatelain under being now the interim head coach and him, we don't know what he does. You know, we don't know how he is as a head coach. We've seen him as, you know, all the OCs and all the, you know, different coordinators that he's been over the years. You know, what type of head coach will he be?
Well, and the big thing I had mentioned this too in the alternative. I mean, like I said, Montreal's going to have to win their next six games just to go 9-9. Is 9-9 going to be good enough? I know Joey thinks it's going to be good enough. It might be good enough. Just
it's funny. At the beginning of the year, I said the Isles would probably go 9-9. If I remember correctly.
So essentially, can Montreal go 9-9? Anything is possible. There's no question that anything is possible. But like I mentioned in the alternative, it's not going to be easy. I mean, you're playing Calgary twice, and Calgary is white hot right now. They have not lost since week one. Like week one, they have gone months without losing. And Montreal just cannot seem to win in Calgary itself. So, as much as I want to be positive, as much as I want to be, you know, the guy that says, yeah, this team's going to go on a run and you just wait and see. No, I'm sorry. Maybe I've been beaten down by this team and how it's performed all season.
You've been beaten down the last four seasons. That's the problem.
That too. I mean, I'm so sorry.
Go.
Yeah, but again, I just, like I said, it's going to be tough. It's going to be extremely tough for Montreal to pull this off, to be able to win six in a row, especially in some very tough places. And yeah, it really comes down to just being realistic more than anything else. I want this team to win, obviously. I want this team to do everything it can to stun the world. But reality, unfortunately, has set in, and I think your best bet now is just let's see what the future holds. And I think you're seeing a little bit of that with this move to put Chapdelaine in instead of perhaps, I don't know if whether it's Noel Thorpe or Cavis Reed or, to a lesser extent, Antti Kallio. Like, which one of these coordinators is going to be the one that will step up if that's the direction the team wants to go? Although, as I've also said before, I definitely think that this team we have to look outside. I think now we're at that point, too, where someone else is just going to have to come in, clean house, and just start over fresh. And I really think that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, we haven't, you know, it's funny, the last four times that we have had a change in season, it's all been Pop. You know, Coach Pop, Jim Pop's always stepped in.
And that's the common denominator, too. I mean,
I know. We had 2001, 2006, 2013, 2015, and almost a year later, 2016, but it finally switched over to Jacques Chapdelaine.
Yeah. And again, you can't keep going back to this. Well, I almost want the Wettenhall family to get like a court order or something, like something that would prevent Jim Pop from taking over as head coach of this team. I know he does it because he has loyalty to the Wettenhall family. He wants this franchise to succeed, and I will always admire him for that attitude. But there comes a time where you just have to say, and again, this has to come from the Wettenhall family themselves too, because if it's ultimately their call to make, which it is as owners of this team, if it's their decision to keep putting Jim back in as the head coach, stop. It doesn't work. I mean, I get it. You hire a couple of bad coaches, or the coaches that you hired just didn't quite pan out the way you thought they would. It happens. Everybody makes mistakes. but you can't keep going back to this well. I'm sorry. It's poisoned. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results each time.
That seems to be a little bit more of OCD than anything else.
Ask Albert Einstein. That's what he said. That's what definition of insanity is. But again, this is where we're at. And again, if the next head coach that gets hired, whether it's one of those three-headed monster, or if it's someone else new entirely, if things don't quite pan out as well, are we going to panic and go back to that security blanket, which isn't very secure? No.
Not much of a security blanket.
It's not. I'm sorry. As great as a general manager Jim Hopp is, and I still think he has got the potential to redeem himself in that sense, in the eyes of the fans, by going back and being that great general manager that we all know and love. But as head coach of this team, it just isn't going to happen. It didn't happen, like you said, back in 2001. And it sure as hell is not happening in 2016. And it's not going to happen in 2018 or 2020.
Even Jim Popp said in his TSN 690 interview today is that, you know, being a head coach, he even admitted that being head coach, he was not able to do what he did as a general manager. You know, he wasn't able to go out and do scouting.
And that's where his talent lies. Like, right.
And the same thing now, because they're going to be hiring a new head coach, because they're going to be scrutinizing the way that it's going to be with Champ Delaney and basically everybody else. So he won't get back to the normal until off season, until a new head coach is chosen, which I'm hoping will happen sooner than later. We don't want what happened when Trestman left and Dan Hawkins was hired, because they did it so damn late in the off season.
And it was the same again. It's that same pattern that happened again. Because again, even in 2014, when Tom Higgins was hired, same idea. It came down to, well, it's February and we don't have a head coach, and all the choice candidates are taken, and we're stuck with a guy that, he was a great coach back in the day, but as time ended up proving, he just didn't have that same magic anymore, and. I think as an organization, this team has to think of itself in a much more positive and better light. You deserve better than, you know, whatever table scraps are left in the coaching pile. I think you just got to do your diligence. Like I said, I think the Wettenhall family had talked about starting the search as early as October, and they have to. There's just no choice. You have to see who's out there. You have to find if the next Mark Trestman is out there, you got to start looking for him yesterday and be ready for October, November, or whenever it is, whenever this season ends, you got to be ready to go with that next coach and say, bam, guess what, Alouettes fans? We got our guy. This is the guy that's going to lead us to the promised land. We've done our homework. We know what he brings to the table, and you're going to be excited. And that's what you got to do to recapture this fan base, to recapture this city as a whole for football. That's what's going to have to be done. If you keep trotting out the same old retreads, or you putting Anthony Calvillo as head coach, yeah, it's going to draw interest, but is it necessarily going to be the winning strategy? I'm going to tell you right now, it's not. I talked earlier about the sizzle and the steak. Hiring Anthony Calvillo as head coach of this team would definitely be selling the sizzle and not the steak.
No, and I mentioned that too. He's not ready. He's not ready. You know, it's. I don't need it has to be cooked enough before we can eat it, because we don't want to get poisoning. I'm not saying AC is poison, by the way. I love AC, as I mentioned before.
We all love AC. And that's the thing. We don't want to be put in a position where we have to crap on this guy because he's not doing the job. Because, again, he was thrown into a terrible situation, just like Ryan Dinwiddie was back in 2014, being bumped from coaching intern to OC in the span of, what, a few weeks? Or a couple of months even. It wasn't fair to him, and sure as hell is not fair to Anthony Calvillo right now for him to be, you know, pushed along the way he was. I mean, these things take time. Great coaching does not happen overnight. And I really want to believe now that everybody in the organization has seen that. They're owning up to that mistake and are taking the steps to properly rectify it. At least I hope so, because, I mean, if come November, when the Alouettes are eliminated from the Grey Cup playoffs, and we're back at the same thing, and we're back to having another press conference talking about stability and leadership and harmony and whatever bullshit phrases we're coming out with just to sell something that isn't going to work. And guess what? AC's the head coach now. Deal with it. No, you're going to see a revolt. People are going to be frustrated, especially when they see the end product. I mean, if you've been paying attention at all this season to what Tim and I have been talking about, folks, we don't hate AC. We really don't. But the guy is not ready to be an offensive coordinator. It's just, it's stop trying to make it happen because it's not happening. Let's put it that way.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, and we'll have to revisit this next week when we are able to see the if anything else changes in the end and the matchup versus Toronto and stuff like that. So it's we're in limbo like everybody else right now. And I'm sure we could talk until we're blue in the face about what needs to be done. Well, I think the main thing right now that we know that needs to be done is that this Alouettes franchise needs to score more. We need to get out of this rut. Your defense is doing an absolutely amazing job. You know, if the team needs to have anybody to, you know, I wouldn't be surprised except for their special teams. But as far as I'm concerned, everybody that the Owls will choose this year for their year-end awards for the CFL, they have to all come from the defense. They have to come all from the defense. You can't bring, you know, that's the way I see it.
You can make that argument. I'll still go out and I still firmly believe that when you talk about the most outstanding player nominee for the Alouettes, mm-hmm. it's still going to be Nick Lewis just for everything he's done throughout the season.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, like I said, the guy has been a leader. Like I said, it was really unfortunate that unfortunately he fumbled the ball this past Friday because it's definitely not your typical Nick Lewis action. I mean, that 9 times out of 10, he makes that catch and he gets the first down. Mm-hmm. This unfortunately just happened to be number 10. And everybody's entitled to a bad day at the office. It's just really unfortunate that Nick decided to have his last Friday when we could have really used that win in Hamilton.
Yeah. And it is what it is, though. The Alouettes have now lost 4 in a row, currently sit at, 3-9. And going forward, let's see what it is. Like I said, we can talk right now until we're blue in the face, but that's what it is. So, but... You know, one thing I want to mention before we finish up here this week, Cliffy, is that I know that you got to at least mention it because you said you were going to go on a huge rant. And I have to at least mention this because, I mean, you already went on a rant earlier, and I think the lunatic he's working on overtime with the amount of times he's had to show up tonight.
Yes, and I apologize for that, folks. I mean, I try to keep myself as even-keeled as possible, but sometimes you got to let loose. And I don't apologize for being passionate about this football team. A lot of people... you know, like to poo-poo this team for any number of reasons. And there's certain, even people that are covering this team that just delight in its misery. And I will never be that. I don't take delight in this current formation of the Montreal Alouettes. There's no joy in this for me. If I'm saying something, and again, if my language is a little salty, I apologize for that. But I will never apologize for the fact that I want this team to do well. I am a proud fan of this Montreal Alouettes organization. I will continue to be a proud fan of this organization. And quite frankly, if I didn't care, I wouldn't say anything. Quite frankly, I want the best for this organization. I want the best for everybody in this organization. When you're talking about the players, the coaches, administration, the water boy, what have you, I want everyone who's associated with the Montreal Alouettes to be a success and to be a successful organization. So if that makes me a homer, if that makes me whatever, so be it. Call it what you will, but I just want this Alouettes team to do well, and I want to be proud again. I want to be proud of being a fan of this team, and I really don't think that's too much to ask, and not just for myself, but for other Alouettes fans too that stick through this team through thick and thin. They deserve better as well. They deserve better from this team, from this organization as a whole, and I want to believe, especially with the moves that are being made now, that this team realizes that things haven't been the way they should be and that they're doing everything within their power to correct it.
We'll see. We'll see. Why don't thank Joey for joining us this week. Hey, if he wants to join us again, he's more than welcome to. A great insight. Want to welcome any of the new fans who happen to be listening to us. I know I finally let everybody know on the CFL message boards that we do exist, and I think we had an uptick a little bit, and I hope you continue to join us. And if you want to contact us, you know, there are ways that you can do so. If you want to give us your 2 cents or give us some ideas, you can email us at alouettespodcast@gmail.com. You can find us over on Twitter at @AlouettesFLDeck. You can find Cliff or at Cliffy D and myself at Repact. It's REPPACT. Go over to our Facebook page. It's also Alouette's Flight Deck. And if you happen to miss any of the previous episodes of this podcast, you can head over to our archives, not only on Podbean, but that's on iTunes. Make sure you give us a thumbs up so more people can see that we do exist and can listen to us, whether you're fans from just of the Alouettes or of the CFL. And there's also over on the Google Play Music. So
yes, and feedback, no matter what, good, bad, or other, we do listen and we definitely do appreciate it. I mean, if you love us, great. If you hate us, that's great too. As long as you're letting us know how you feel, and if there's any way we can improve the show or just make your overall listening experience even better, please don't be shy. As you just heard, there's many ways to get in touch with us. Mm-hmm. Don't be shy. Drop us a line. Let us know how we're doing. Because, again, I've said it before and I'll say it again.
Hey, we're only 16, Cliff. I mean, it is our sweet 16 this week. So it's, you know, I feel as giddy as a schoolgirl.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But yes, once again, like I said, just, yeah, any sort of feedback, commentary, what have you, share it with us, because at the end of the day, like I said, we do this for you, the fans.
Exactly. So we hope to have something for next week. I know because we won't be coming off of a bye, but we're working on something. And stay tuned to our social media outlets, and we'll give you guys an update. So for everybody here at Alouette's Flight Deck, for Cliffy D, I'm Tim Capper. We're on Final Approach.